Mark Spector, lots to talk about. The playoffs continue. The St. Louis Blues and the Dallas Stars, he's covering that series. The Calgary Flames fire their head coach, and Chris Letang gets a one-game suspension. How are you, Spec?
Wow, busy. That's what we are.
Oh, absolutely.
And
the draft lottery happens, and I was wrong. I said we'd have you on as Oilers fans to be dancing in the streets, and there they are, picking fourth. They fell down a couple spots. What do you know?
Well, I think that the big hue and cry, we always do this in hockey. We expect the worst and start to change the rules before the event even occurs. And I think what that proved was the draft setup is such that the odds are going to get to you, you know, and in fact,
in theory,
that great luck. Right. Well, and not in practice.
Yeah.
Edmonton became, along with Vancouver, the first team to ever fall down two spots. So as good as luck as Edmonton has had, they just fell out of that top three. And you know what? If you want the good luck, you got to take the bad, right?
It is funny, though. And be honest with me. As Bill Daly is sitting there with the number four draft slot, you thought it was the Leafs, didn't you? I did. I thought it was the Leafs.
No. I said on your show, I hope the Leafs win it, and I was happy that they did.
Sure.
And, you know, it's time for Winnipeg to have some fun with this thing, and even Columbus, what the hell. So, no, this is good. And if you catch anyone in Edmonton complaining about getting the fourth best player in the draft, give him a slap for
it. Elliot Friedman almost cursed me out on this show because I told him that Oilers fans did not want to win the lottery and draft Austin Matthews. He didn't believe me, but I think for a lot of people it was true.
Well, people, I mean, I am always careful to speak for fans, but I suspect that some of the people that I do know in Edmonton, they're embarrassed that their team's in this conversation. Edmonton wins that thing, and they become the laughing stock again for another reason. And you know what? I'm talking to Leafs fans on this station. They know what it's like to have a lousy team year after year after year after year, right? Oilers fans, be happy to get the hell out of this conversation, man, and not be part of it ever again.
So I saw your tweets today, and I'll let you have at it. Chris Letang hits Marcus Johansson last night, takes a penalty. The Penguins win the game. And today, Letang is handed a one-game suspension. He'll sit for game four. Your thoughts on it?
One game is a perfect assessment. You know, listen, I'm a little disappointed with our whole media culture. We're so quick to want everybody suspended all the time. You know, we've forgotten how fast the game is down there and how quick decisions are made. Think this through, okay? They say that Letang's hit was 0.6 seconds late. Was that the number we decided on?
Pardon me?
I think we decided that Letang's hit was 0.6 seconds too late after Johansson had lost the puck. So you're going to go to hit a guy. He gets rid of the puck every time because he sees you coming. So that knocks it down to about 0.3 of a second that you have to make your decision while you're coming full speed, stepping up on a guy, right? And you're supposed to make that decision in 0.3 of a second to, you know, maybe his head's low, maybe it's high. He just caught him on the chin. I mean, it is so hard to be that player that throws that hit and pull it off successfully. And I got to say, on Twitter last night and what I saw this morning, a lot of media people are instructing Chris Letang that he made a dumb play or that, you know, it was a stupid move. I love guys throwing those hits. Sometimes they go bad a little bit, but if we take it out of the game, what do we have? Take those hits out of the game, we got, you know, I can't even say what we'd have or... They'll be all over me, but
Spec,
I want that hit in the game.
If this is the worst hit, and I think the idea is for the National Hockey League, is that to make it, this is as bad as it gets. There's a guy with his head down the neutral zone. It's a tough play. Chris Letang, step up. It's a difficult play. If this is the worst hit the NHL has, we're doing okay.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he would hit him from straight on. In front, it wasn't the blind side back checking hit. Yeah, you're exactly right. This is the worst one. And remember that Johansson played the rest of the game. He's not injured. Don't compare this to Rome on Horton. It's not close to the same thing. So you're right. You're right, Andrew. If this is the worst we've got, I think the NHL's taken a huge step.
So the finalists announced for the Calder, Connor McDavid is one of them. People in Buffalo are very upset that their boy Jack Eichel isn't there. The other two are Artemi Panarin, who had a ton of points, and Shane Gostisbehere. I've been on the Gostisbehere train all season. I don't want Panarin to win it. He's a 40-year-old Russian that played with Patrick Kane. It bothers me. That said, Who is going to win this thing? People are talking like the fact that McDavid's in the top three, it like maybe it's enough to just push him right to number one.
Well, it's we all seem to be inventing new reasons why guys shouldn't be able to win. One of them, of course, is, oh, you can't win if you only played 45 games.
Did you vote in this story? Did you have a vote?
I voted in it, yeah. I voted for McDavid, and this is why. When he played, he won the rookie of the month in the three of the months that he played. He was by far the best rookie in the league when he was playing. We're judging the rookie seasons. Who's the best player in this rookie season? I'm not saying who's going to be the next best player for the rest of his life, right? I'm saying who's the best player in the rookie season. McDavid was the best player. He was most productive in the games he played in. His points per game were higher than everybody else. And the fact is he did it on a lousy team. I'm not holding it against Panarin that he played with Kane. That's fine. He made Kane better some nights for sure. But the fact that he had Kane at his disposal is something that McDavid cannot say. Goss Despair was my second place vote because he's a defenseman. It's harder to do, and Philly got really good when he showed up. I really agonized between McDavid and Goss Despair. And the last thing I'll say is I'm never voting for a guy who played 5 or 6 years in the K and played 260 pro games over there. He's never going to get my Calder vote. It will never happen.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds slightly xenophobic.
Not xenophobic.
No, I know.
Why would you say that?
I'm joking. We have this internal debate about it. I know. I agree with you.
Canadian that played 260 pro somewhere.
I agree with you.
He's a pro player.
I think the definition's lost a little bit because it is about the best rookie season. Like, Connor McDavid, when did he get hurt? 12 games in, 13 games in?
Something like that, yeah,
like,
early December.
When he went down, he was a point per game, and we all knew. Like, everyone said, look at what this kid is doing. It's ridiculous. Like, would you have voted for him had he not come back?
Probably not at 12 games. I think that would be a little bit ridiculous. But he did come back.
Yeah, no, I know.
Would I have voted for Panarin if he had half the points? No. Right? Would I have voted for Panarin if he had twice the points? Yes. So we got to vote on what happened. And he came back and he was the best player on the ice, probably 8 out of every 10 games he played.
Hartley out in Calgary. And it's funny, too, because Boudreau goes out in Anaheim, and I wonder if the two are linked. I think we fall into this trap, speaking of what you don't like about you know, fans and media and social media. Like, a team loses and people want their blood. People want a pound of flesh. Like, they want somebody fired as punishment. Yeah. Like, it really matters. I'm not into the punishment thing, but I thought True Living was good today in the sense where he said, listen, like, Bob did great things here. We feel that this group is as far as they can go with this head coach. It doesn't mean that you hate Bob Hartley. It doesn't mean that the Hawks hated Denny Savard way back when. But you get to a certain point, right?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think the other thing is that it's the right of the general manager, Brad Treliving, to hire the coach that he wishes to have. And he inherited Bob Hartley and was, you know, comfortable enough to keep Bob as his coach for a couple of years. But I think that if I'm running a team and my coach has, you know, my team fell off the way the Flames did, and it's under a coach that I never interviewed. I never got to choose him. I may or may not like the way he even coaches. I'm free to go get my own guy. Like, I have no problem.
Yeah.
You know, Bob's a good coach. I think he should go coach. I think Ottawa should hire him next year. But I have no problem with Bob setting his own table here. Or I should say Treliving setting his own table. That's what they're paying him to do in Calgary.
It was funny. I had always had this weird feeling about Hartley because, of course, Feaster brings him in. And Bob Hartley in his earlier days in Colorado, as you know, had a tough rep, a bad rep, and players didn't necessarily like him. And then he comes to Calgary, and at face value, he seemed to really be a different guy after coming back from overseas. But I never entirely trusted it. You know what I mean? Like not that he was a bad coach or a bad guy or anything like that, but I don't necessarily trust a 180 in terms of style changes like that. Was he different or did he act different?
Well, he's a tough, they say that he can be a tough guy to play for, and I have no issue with that, first of all. Let me make this clear. When I hear a professional player say, I'm tired of playing for this coach, I'm sick of his system, I'm tuning him out, I don't want that guy in my team anymore. You know, I'm paying you an average salary of $2.8 million. Here's your coach. Listen to him, not just some days. Listen to him every day. That's the thing that I don't like. Having said that, I think what we're finding, especially with veteran guys like Hartley, like Mark Crawford, like Ken Hitchcock, you know, they're smart enough to know that today's player is different. It's a different player. They come to the league more ready to play the NHL game. You don't have to teach them as much. Yelling and screaming doesn't work in NHL rooms anymore. You'll find almost none of them left in the league. So I'll give Hartley credit for the ability to, you know, alter his style to the modern player. I tell you what, when Mark Crawford gets a job somewhere, and I think he will, he'll be a different guy than he was in Denver. I'll guarantee you that, mm-hmm. or Vancouver.
So Hartley to the Sens, you'd like to see, is Boudreaux destined for Anaheim, or much like the tree living higher in the first place, do the Flames go outside the box a little bit?
Well, that's a good question. I know that Minnesota is very interested in Bruce Boudreaux, and Ottawa had requested as well to speak to him. So, you know, this is the old carousel, right? Do I have to hire my guy right away before someone else gets him? It's an excellent question. I think that Calgary... Answer me this one. What's going on down in Phoenix right now? They got this new... They fired Don Maloney, and the new GM, this Chaika fellow, is a very young guy with no GMing experience. And at this point, it looks like he might become the general manager of that team. Is that where we're at in Phoenix?
Well, they put a call into Kyle Dubas, apparently, and that didn't go anywhere. I don't know if they know what they're doing, Spec.
Right. So at what point does Dave Tippett say, you know, it's not going anywhere here? Right? We don't have the arena we want. I'm not sure we have any kind of budget. We're continually trying something new and different. Now we're going to become the Billy Ball, our money ball team of the National Hockey League under some young GM that I've never even heard of. What about Dave Tippett saying I had enough of this and ended up with a guy who was his old boss, Treliving, up in Calgary? Would that work for you?
He's a good coach. I'll tell you what, it would be a coup for Calgary. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there, but I like what's going on in Phoenix, and I'm not the Dave Tippett I know, unless he's got a real big pay raise and responsibility raise, I'm not sure he'd like it either.
I still would like to hope and wish and pray that Arizona still puts together a big package to throw at the Leafs for the right to draft number one. That's my fantasy. I don't know if it'll come true. What are the Oilers? What are they thinking at four? Is this pick just destined to be moved, or does this give them the leverage at least to they can take a defense but not feel bad about it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at all the draft mock drafts we're seeing, and the defensemen don't even start till 6, 7, and 8. So there's three things you do at four. You draft a defenseman higher because you really, really like a guy and you let the mock draft be damned. Or two, you draft a big forward like Dubois or Tkachuk and say, okay, here's a net front presence for Connor McDavid for the next 10 years. That's maybe not a bad idea. Or three, you take that pick and you say, look, why don't I trade, you know, Walk, I'll trade you my fourth and a pretty good player or a real good player. You give me a defenseman and give me your eighth or ninth pick, and I'll take my defenseman down there. Maybe that's how you work it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I would think, and again, it's not all about the fans, but I would think it's tough to, what does another 18-year-old do for you? I'm trying my best to move that pick and get value, if I am the Edmonton Oilers. But who knows?
Yeah, that's fair.
Good stuff, Spec. Enjoy round two. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for calling.